This week on Capitol Hill was supposed to be a time to debate the defense budget. Instead, this morning the Capitol was evacuated and closed down. Lawmakers wondered what the carnage of the day says about America's intelligence capabilities. NPR's Peter Overby reports.
At mid-morning, there was a stunned calm on Capitol Hill. Two Republican senators and a few staff members stood across the street from the evacuated Capitol and listened to the radio. Chuck Hagel of Nebraska is a Vietnam veteran on the Foreign Relations Committee. John Warner is a World War II vet and ranking Republican on the Armed Services Committee. First, Senator Hagel.
This country has been changed forevermore. This is the second Pearl Harbor. It's that serious. When you think about what has happened here today, it's as serious as what happened at Pearl Harbor. Different kind of an enemy, different time. This is an attack on America.
It's a carefully coordinated attack. It's remarkable, the volume of these things. And somehow the intelligence community, we'll have to see.
As concerned as Warner might be, he and most other members of Congress are in no rush to second-guess America's intelligence network. A few Democrats pointed out, quietly, that they want to shift some $800 million from Star Wars missile defense to anti-terrorism work. That was supposed to be debated in a committee meeting this morning. But conservative Republican Dana Rohrabacher of California lashed out at what he called the biggest intelligence failure of his lifetime. He blamed the administration of former President Bill Clinton.
We should do a clean sweep. We've got to hold those people who hold cushy jobs in the senior executive level of our well-paid intelligence operations, to sweep them away and do some major reform. We can't just let this get away by saying, there's nothing we could have done. There's a lot we could have done to prevent this, and it's a disgrace that our country hasn't done it.
But Rohrabacher was out on a limb. More typical was Arizona Republican John Kyle on the Senate Intelligence Committee. Like President Bush and many other lawmakers, he talked about protecting the homeland.
It is very unfortunate but true that it takes incidents like this to focus people's attention on the fact that we've got a big job to do in this country, and that's to protect our homeland. A lot of voices have been saying that, but because we appear to be safe and secure, we have other priorities. We need to increase our spending on intelligence. We need to increase our intelligence gathering and an analytical capability. We need to increase our ability to infiltrate terrorist organizations, and then we need to have better plans on how to deal with attacks once they occur. It's my hope that this incident, if there's anything good that comes out of us, it will be that it will refocus our attention on this first priority.
For members of Congress, the first priority today was to demonstrate that the congressional branch of government might have been temporarily out of its building, but it isn't out of business. As the tragedy of the day sinks in, the debate over intelligence operations has just begun. Peter Overby, NPR News, the Capitol.
And to review, President George W. Bush spoke from the Oval Office this evening to reassure the nation shocked by today's terrorist attack. He said an investigation has already begun.
I've directed the full resources of our intelligence and law enforcement communities to find those responsible and to bring them to justice. We will make no distinction between the terrorists who committed these acts and those who harbor them. I appreciate so very much the members of Congress who have joined me in strongly condemning these attacks. And on behalf of the American people, I thank the many world leaders who have called to offer their condolences and assistance.
President Bush speaking this evening at the White House. Today's events, four hijacked airplanes crashing into centers of finance and the military, constitute the largest act of terrorism ever. Search and rescue efforts will continue in New York and at the Pentagon. Numbers of the dead and injured are not yet available, but police in New York say those numbers will be in the thousands. We'll be following the story throughout the night. You're listening to special coverage from NPR News. This is special coverage from NPR News of today's terrorist attacks in New York City and in Washington. In Washington, I'm Noah Adams.
And I'm Linda Wertheimer.
And in New York, I'm Robert Siegel. Today, the United States was hit by the worst terrorist act in history. Four commercial jets were hijacked and crashed into civilian and military targets, two into the World Trade Center in New York City, one into the Pentagon outside Washington, D.C. Another plane crashed in rural Pennsylvania, 80 miles southeast of Pittsburgh. Hundreds of people were aboard the planes that crashed, and the death toll could be in the thousands. Moments ago, President George W. Bush addressed the nation from the White House. He said that after the first attack, he implemented the nation's emergency response plan.
Our first priority is to get help to those who have been injured and to take every precaution to protect our citizens at home and around the world from further attacks. The functions of our government continue without interruption. Federal agencies in Washington, which had to be evacuated today, are reopening for essential personnel tonight and will be open for business tomorrow. Our financial institutions remain strong, and the American economy will be open for business as well. The search is underway for those who are behind these evil acts. I've directed the full resources of our intelligence and law enforcement communities to find those responsible and to bring them to justice. We will make no distinction between the terrorists who committed these acts and those who harbor them.
President Bush spoke at the White House tonight.
We're joined now by NPR's White House correspondent Don Gagne and our Justice Department correspondent Barbara Bradley. Barbara, let's start with you. What do we know about the investigation that the president has said will be ongoing from this point?
Well, as you just heard, the president said that all of the Justice Department and FBI's and many, many other agencies, actually, all of these resources are going to be deployed. And we are beginning to hear some details. Attorney General John Ashcroft said that on one of the planes, the hijackers had knives. Then we know that on another flight, the American Airlines flight that crashed into the Pentagon, we know that the hijackers had knives there. We're beginning to kind of hear little details here and there. But we're going to be seeing a very concerted effort over the next, obviously, you know, around the clock. But what we're going to be doing is we're going to be hearing a little bit more about details that come out from, for example, cell phones. Several people made cell phone calls, and so the investigators are going to be talking to the people who received those phone calls, listening to them. They're going to be trying to get clues as to who the hijackers were, trying to trace them to Osama bin Laden or whoever they believe that is. So things are just going to be coming out little by little.
At some level, this is about plane crashes, and there's always evidence about what happened to airplanes. Do you think these investigators have any hope of finding the black boxes?
Well, you know, those black boxes are pretty sturdy. They seem to endure quite a bit. I know that they're going to be looking for them. It's interesting. I was talking to someone a little bit earlier today, and what they said is, gee, there is going to be, yes, it looks like they were all burned up, but there is also going to be a lot of evidence, not only evidence at the crime scene, but also evidence in other places. For example, they are going to take all those boarding passes and they will scan them for fingerprints. And somewhere in an international database, there may be the fingerprints of the hijackers. They will be looking for things like that, both at the crime scene and off the crime scene.
Where pilots were trained, where they could have found people who might have been able to fly these aircraft.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, it seems pretty clear that the hijackers were also, at least two on each plane, were also pilots. The reason is no American pilot would fly into the World Trade Center. So that means that these pilots were trained somewhere, and in all likelihood in the United States or in Western Europe, because the simulators that are needed to train those pilots are in those places. What that probably means is that they are certified and that those pilots are on a list somewhere. So what people think is that they're going to focus on the pilots first.
Don Gagne, the president spoke to the nation just a few minutes ago. The thrust of what he said,
it was a balance he was trying to strike. That resolve that the United States, that this country will do what it takes to hunt down these people, to proceed with this investigation that Barbara's describing, and then the reassurance to the American public that even though this was a horrible attack on this country's freedoms, that it cannot be viewed as a setback, that this country will not go into retreat, that the federal government will be functioning tomorrow, that the Congress will be in business tomorrow, that the American economy, he said, will be open for business tomorrow.
The president talked about good and evil when he was discussing these hijackers, and he talked about dealing equally with the people who hijacked these aircraft or who planned the hijackings of these aircraft and those who harbor them, which sounds, I assume, like states that have been hiding or permitting the terrorist activity within their borders.
It was probably the strongest language of the president's remarks tonight, that this is not just individuals we are going after. He seemed to be saying that these people have support, and we will find out who is supporting them. And if that is state support, though he didn't use that word explicitly, then there will be repercussions.
Thanks very much, Don.
Thank you.
NPR's Don Gagne, NPR's Barbara Bradley. Thank you both.
Welcome.
Carrie Nolan is a reporter for member station WNYC, and right now she is in Atlantic Highlands in New Jersey. The harbor there is packed with thousands of people, medical personnel, police, firefighters. Carrie Nolan, I understand that a triage unit has been set up where you are. What's going on there?
Well, right now it looks like medical personnel from practically all over New Jersey have amassed in this very small town on the Sandy Hook Bay. They've set up several tents, triage tents, and they've actually been ferrying people from New York all day long. Mostly this afternoon it's been ambulatory patients who were examined and either treated on the scene or sent to area hospitals. They were also... some of them were sent to decontamination units where they were just hosed down with water to remove asbestos particles that were clinging to their skin and clothing. So this has been sort of an ongoing thing. We're getting word now that more critically injured people are due in on ferry boats probably in about an hour or so.
More
we'll
people,
see what
you
happens
say.
Then. I'm sorry?
More people are still coming in.
Yes, sir. More people are coming in, and they're expected to come in probably for most of the night.
Do the people who are running the triage center give any sense to reporters there whether the people they're treating were actually inside the World Trade Center and managed to get out before the explosion, or might they just as easily have been pedestrians in the area at the time?
This afternoon, it was a little of both. There were people who did get out in time, and there were people who just happened to be caught on the street. At this point, they're not even sure how many more critically injured people are coming in. They've just been amassed in one of the meeting rooms here down at the harbor, and some of them are coming out with big boxes of medical equipment. So right now, nobody knows how many people are coming in or how many ferries have been put into work tonight.
But do you get the sense that there actually is an operation at the scene of what were the World Trade Center towers to try to rescue people who might still be alive there?
There is that sense. Everybody's being pretty realistic and not, I don't want to say not holding out too much hope, but just not making any judgments as to who's coming in and where they're coming from. Whether it's, you know, from the building itself. Right now, the hospitals in New York are just overwhelmed. So this seems to be, ferrying people seems to be the most efficacious way of getting people the help they need and to a hospital as quickly as possible.
Well, Carrie, thank you very much for telling us about it. Carrie Nolan of member station WNYC reporting to us from the Jersey side of New York Harbor. She's at Atlantic Highlands in New Jersey.
Here in Washington, rescue crews are at work at this hour at the Pentagon. They're looking for survivors from this morning's attacks and starting the grim effort to recover bodies. NPR's Steve Inskeep joins us from the Pentagon. Steve, the latest there?
No, it appears again that perhaps the fire is under control, at least from our vantage point. Officials earlier in the evening declared this fire to be under control. Up there goes again. Over the last half hour, however, Noah, the fire has begun bursting through the Pentagon roof again and again, a great distance, in fact, from the place where the plane originally struck. And once again, right now, we are seeing tongues of flame licking up into the sky and smoke continuing to rise from the building. As that happens, more rescuers are arriving. They are bringing what appeared to be cadaver dogs, bringing in cranes. Army troops are coming in, convoy after convoy of people, to try to begin working through that rubble and see what they can find.
Any estimate about how many people may have been killed in that plane crash?
The Associated Press is giving us a number based from a Pentagon official of perhaps 100, but I have to say, I mean, based on any experience from covering disasters, that's got to be a wild guess at this point. The military is trying to get a handle on how many people really were in the building, asking people to call. One thing that may keep the casualty number lower than it might otherwise have been is that we are told that a portion of the building where the plane struck had been recently renovated and not all the offices were filled.
The question occurs today, why didn't somebody try to shoot down that aircraft as it came screaming into the Pentagon?
Well, I think there are maybe two answers to that, although we're speculating a little here. One, eyewitnesses who talked to me said this plane flew in very low, which means you would not see it from miles and miles away. You would have a very short time to react and try to get a missile, a shoulder-fired missile, or whatever the Pentagon or whatever the military may have had on the roof to shoot at that. The second thing is, we heard in the newscast at the top of the hour, Noah, that the transponders on these planes were shut off. The transponder is a device on the plane that communicates with the ground, makes it easier to find it on the radar, which means that any early warning radar, any military or civilian radar, would have had great difficulty tracking that plane and getting an early sense that it was heading someplace that it should not have gone.
And at this hour, this evening, what is the military response to this day?
General Hugh Shelton told us, your armed forces are ready. And I think that's the bottom line. Officials made it clear to us that either they do not know yet or are not willing to say yet who they think is responsible for this, but they are prepared, I would presume, to respond with maximum force, not only, as we heard from Don Gagne, against the terrorists, if they can be found, but any nation that may have helped them.
Thank you, Steve.
Happy to help.
NPR's Steve Inskeep talking with us from the Pentagon. You're listening to special coverage of today's terrorist attacks from NPR News.